Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning. You alright? Me? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, all good. All good, thanks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's now Wednesday, isn't it? Wednesday, Harry? Is that right?
Yeah.
It is Wednesday, isn't it? Days merge into one. When you work all day long and more or less all evening, day after day after day, week after week, sometimes days merge into one. But it is Wednesday. It's just tick past 8 in the AM, British summer time, on Wednesday, the 28th of May. In the year of our Lord, 2026, you're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. As always, I'm joined by, or nearly always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
There he is. The disembodied voice of the all-powerful producer at the helm. Why are we faffing about, though? Why is there all this fannying around? Let's just get on with it. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors talking about this morning? Or not talking about? Lying to you by omission. We've got Labour risking lost generation. Harry, if you bring that up. Okay, there you go. Labour risking lost generation of young people who aren't in work or education. Neat. Not in education, employment or training. There might be millions, or lots of them anyway. That's what that is. We'll talk about it. And Britain's gone balmy. It was hot again yesterday. All right. There's other things as well. We'll get into it. Like the Daily Mail, pure slop, the Mail. Really is. And I say it all the time, or every day, in fact, but it really is pure subversion, globalist subversion. They're not on your side. They're not on your side. You think sometimes because they print an article which is based or seems based, they'll say something patriotic, you know, they'll print sometimes someone that's moaning about migration or something. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They hate the native people of this of these islands. Hate them. Trying to undermine them. Work against them. That's the Mail. That's the Mail group. Don't be fooled. Leftists moan. Oh, the Mail. The Mail is so right wing. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No. It's slop. Wearing the onesie of a nationalist. All right. Something about Kate Moss. If only people knew how witty Kate Moss was. She's not. Don't worry. Like when people try and say, oh, George Bush Jr. was really clever and quick behind closed doors. No, he wasn't. Gordon Brown was actually really personable and warm behind closed doors. No, he wasn't. Kate Moss is actually really witty. No. Please. Please. All right. Labour risking a lost generation of jobless youth. Landmark report by party grandee warns 1 in 6 young people will be on dole by 2030 without major welfare reform. Anyone who's foreign might not know that by dole, that just means sort of welfare. It's just a British word for that. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, there's far too many people in this country for how many jobs there are to go round. Yeah, you flooded us with millions of new people, millions. There's some reports, might see it later, on the main websites, saying like, for every one job that goes to a native white young person, there's like 20, was it 20, 25 jobs go to a new person, a migrant even, an actual migrant. Yeah, that's just one of the terrible consequences of flooding us with hundreds of thousands net of new people every single year. gross millions of people every single year is it ruins the job market. There's not enough jobs, quite simply. There's not enough houses, there's not enough jobs, there's not enough doctors, dentists. You try and talk about it. If you want re-migration, you're an evil Nazi. Hope Not Hate will try and destroy you. Try and add you to that list of jobless people. You know, the corporate mainstream media, like the Mail, will try and destroy you. The Express. If you try and talk about it, you'll just get countered with more safe and legal routes, actually, bigot. That's what they do, that's what they say. Madness, isn't it? Absolute suicidal madness. Open borders and globalism. And out-group preference. Okay, this young woman was in Sheffield, having a night out, completely innocent. Some disgusting gangster started shooting. She got hit in the crossfire, killed. Brilliant. Thanks, Blair. Thanks, Cameron. Lawless Britain. Okay. Labour must reform welfare or condemn a, quote, lost generation of younger people to a life on the dole. The party will be warned today. Alan Milburn. Former Labour cabinet minister Alan Milburn has made this report, was talking about this. That's funny. That's funny. I seem to remember Alan Milburn being involved in New Labour from the very beginning. Being involved at the heart of the Blairite project from the beginning. Even he was in government during the Brown years as well. Weren't you, Alan, responsible for the state of the country we're in to some degree, to a large degree? But now you're moaning about it. Now you're worried about a lost generation. Okay. Alan Milburn. I don't know where these politicians get the gall, you know, like in reform, you know, like Robert Jenrick or Nadine Dorries or Nadeem Swahari, whatever his name is, all these people. They're now trying to tell you what's wrong with the country and how they're going to fix it. Alan Milburn, Andy Burnham, going to tell us what needs to be done, how to fix it. How to fix their mistakes, their lack of judgment, their insane worldview. They'll fix it now. They know what to do now, do they? Shut up, Alan Milburn. Disgusting creature. What on earth? Alan Milburn. Get in the bin of history, Alan Milburn. Oh, these people. The Eye Paper. Call for welfare reforms. This is probably the main story on the in the papers on Fleet Street today. Call for welfare reforms to save young people from becoming lost generation. You know what might help? You know what might help a lost generation of young people that can't find work? A giant program of remigration to get rid of the millions of people in this country, foreign-born millions of people in this country. And ease pressure on job markets. That would help, wouldn't it? They can't do that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Someone like me, someone like us, someone like Rupert or whatever will say something like that. Nope. Instead, we'll put a Muslim woman as Home Secretary who will just try and browbeat you and tell you more safe and legal routes, if anything. That's what you get. That's what they give you. Britain faces a, quote, a generational fault line. Says Alan Milburn. A generation you've condemned to this, Alan, in which more than 1.25 million young people could be out of work unless Labour takes action. Worklessness czar warns. A worklessness czar. Okay, alright. Crazy, isn't it? Unless Labour takes action. They're not going to say they don't know what to do anyway, do they? There's certain things like remigration they just won't do, won't even consider. And beyond that, they've got no plan. No They don't know what to do and don't care. And don't care, ultimately. Alan Milburn warns that, quote, first rung of the career ladder, quote, is now out of reach for many young people not in employment, education or training. Well, you don't say. Oh, what an incredible observation. I mean, I remember when I was young, straight out of uni, the hardest bit was, by far the hardest part, was starting the thread of a CV, a curriculum vitae. Starting the thread, getting a first proper job. Because then you start the ball rolling, right? You start building a CV. If and when you need to apply for other jobs, it's not just empty. It's not just like, I went to school, I did A-levels, and then I went to uni, and then nothing. I had a summer job in a pub. The hardest bit is getting that going. Yeah, yeah. You need to get a little, even back then, in like the late 1990s, early 2000s, it was quite hard. It was difficult, really quite difficult. You have to get a bit lucky. It's more who you know, really, isn't it, unfortunately? Nepotism makes the world go round. You either need a little bit of nepotism somewhere or get lucky or work really, really, really hard at it. That's one thing I would say to young people that are struggling to get jobs, that really want a job, really badly, desperately want and need a job, and failing to get one. All I'll say is you've got to work really hard at it. They say, oh, I've applied for dozens and dozens of jobs. I've applied for hundreds of jobs. Well, just keep going. You've got to keep applying, keep going, keep going, keep going. You've got to throw a lot of muck at the wall until a tiny bit of it sticks. It's a grind, right? You can't just get up at midday and apply for two or three jobs in a half-assed manner and then say, oh, I'm trying to find a job. No. Make it a full day's work. Do like 8 hours of it a day, day after day after day. Because eventually, once you do get that thread, once you do finally get a job, stay in it for a while, don't get fired, then you've got the ball rolling. And that's the hardest bit. That is the hardest bit. I feel sorry for very young people that are struggling with that. Right? So if there's loads of people going for the same job, and one person's 10 years older than you and got 10 years experience, they'll get the job and you won't. It's tough. You've got to do some crappy jobs when you're young. You think, oh, you know, I'll come out of uni. I'm bright, I'm clever. I've got a good degree even, maybe. Maybe. Think, oh, I'll walk straight into a decent job. Probably won't. Probably have to do a bit of a crappy job for a few years. It's all about building that CV. All right, the times, the venerable times. This woman tried the dangerous frog poison detox. Don't care. And this poor mother, 30. Dead. Because our society is now low trust, high crime, and the police don't really do their job properly. Allow organised crime to absolutely run rampant and out of control. And when they do catch them, put them in prison, they're given very, very light sentences. And parole boards just let them out. Or not even that, they're just let out. Isn't it thousands of people just let out of prison? Hundreds, certainly. A year. How weird is that? Just one more victim to throw on the pyre of broken Britain. In Bowes, Britain, I would make the judicial system draconian. Draconian. Ministers raise heat on PM over North Sea. They dispute claim that drilling won't cut bills. Yeah. Ed Miliband's Red Ed's crazy net zero ideas. And that it's just simply wrong and evil and harmful to the planet if we drill in the North Sea. What nonsense. On every level, nonsense. They say, oh, even if we did drill, it wouldn't cut energy bills. Well, of course it would. Of course, not immediately, not on day one, but of course it would. But you don't want energy sufficiency, Ed Miliband, say it. You want us to be reliant on other countries for our energy. Is that what you want? Seems to be what you want. That's the obvious direct consequence of not drilling in the North Sea. Ed Miliband is both an idiot and a scumbag, and a traitor, and a weirdo, a freak. Over half of NEETs, i.e. young people not in education, employment or training, have never held a job. Never. That's the other thing that's really bad for your CV, for your life. There's like a massive gap in your CV. You know, you go to an interview and they're looking at it. Oh, after school or A-levels or uni, after that, there's nothing here for like 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Like, what did you do? They would just ask, well, what did you do in that time? If you go, oh, well, I was looking for jobs, but couldn't get one. They're like, oh, okay. I've got 24 other people here that isn't the case for. So, thank you. Next. It's harsh, isn't it? It's really harsh. Try and avoid big gaps on your CV. They look terrible. You know, employers that don't owe you anything, and they're just simply grading you against the other people they've got. That's harsh, isn't it? But there you go, that's life. That's reality. They're grading you, they're judging you on the strength of a one-page CV and what you look like and sound like in an interview. Try not to have any big gaps on it at all, really, if you can. All right, but you're like, half of them have never held a job. Oh, thanks, Blair. Thanks, Brown. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Boris. Thanks, May. Thanks, Rishi. Thanks, Sakir. The country and society you have fashioned is terrible. It's broken. The Metro. Ugh. Ugh. Metro. Temperature falls a little bit, but costs rise. Heating bills up. Britain's gone balmy. I mean, all right, I'm just not going to. Okay, you get it. You know. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. And just like the Mail, complete globalist slop. But schoolboy chorister runs three businesses. Does he? Does he? First, he blasts Labour for lacking a coherent plan. Now Tony Blair says it's time to scrap Ed's net zero fantasy. Yeah, good. I agree with the Dark Lord on that, on his dark throne in the land of Mordor, where shadows lie. Agree with him on that. It's an insane fantasy. Completely insane. That CO2 at all, let alone man-made CO2, drives climate change. 400 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere. That doesn't drive climate change. That's all CO2 as well, not just man-made CO2. That drives climate change, and therefore we can't or shouldn't burn fossil fuels. Nonsense. Nonsense. There's a show on TV called Line of Duty, which some people liked. I've never seen it. It looks really lame. It's coming back on TV. Okay, don't care. All right, there you go. Helena Bonham Carter is the last of the English fashion eccentrics. I've always thought Helena Bonham Carter's like quirky fashion thing was really performative and try hard. Always thought that. Really, that's your natural style, is it? You're not just trying really hard to get noticed. Written about. Pathetic. Pathetic. The Daily Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. This black woman here says, I was a Palestine activist. Then I went to Israel. Who is she? Nobody. Nobody. Do we care what this absolute nobody black young black woman thinks about the Arab-Israeli-Palestinian conflict? No. Oh, I wonder if her analysis goes back to the 7th century. I wonder if she's steeped in the history of the ancient world. She's going to start her analysis at Zennacherib, is she? Yeah? She's going to go into a deep, deep dive into the PLO. Mandelson told Cabinet how to do their jobs. So that's the thing. I think next week they're saying there's going to be the second tranche of documents all about Mandelson, how Mandelson was vetted, how Mandelson behaved during his time as ambassador to the US. Why it's taken them so long to release these documents, I don't know. They've certainly had them ready for a while. Okay. And it's expected to say that he was some sort of puppet master. Disgraced peers' influence over ministers to be exposed in new tranche of files. Yeah, I read this article sort of saying that whilst he was ambassador to the US, he would just... We've already talked about it a number of times, haven't we? How he is a grandee of the party, a big beast of the party. If you wanted to get on in the Labour Party, you needed the good wishes of Peter Mandelson. If he wanted to just keep you down, end your career, just make sure you never got any sort of position or power in the party, he could do that. And you had to kiss up to him if you wanted to get anywhere. So that has always been the case. Pretty much always been the case. He was one of Tony Blair's henchmen. I was going to say captains, but let's say henchmen. And even then, even just like a couple of years ago, apparently he's just sending messages to a lot of people, a lot of ministers in government and stuff. What to do, what to do next, what their job should be, even, as sort of fundamental as that. Not just what to do or say next, but what your role is in government. Mandelson. Right, we'll see what all those documents reveal. Next week will probably be, at least a few days next week, will be Mandy days. Oh, Mandy, the pain is calling, oh, Mandy. He must be, if it's up to me, put in prison for treason. Apart from anything else, those data points where he's sending Epstein sensitive information, inside government information, some of which was market sensitive, highly sensitive market sensitive information. As well as politically sensitive stuff. Inside things. Go. Hey, Jeff. Gordon Brown's just about to resign. That's treasonous, isn't it? That's acting on behalf of a foreign entity, a foreign agent, isn't it? He should go to prison. Absolutely go to prison. HMRC, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, puts trans users on fast-track VIP phone line. Oh. Weird. That's weird. There's some sort of special fast-track phone line for the HMRC that is for, what does it say? Civil servants and the royal family. Senior civil servants and the royal family. Now, if you're trans or just claim to be trans, you get access to that. How odd. Well, not even trans, because now they just count cross-dressers as trans, don't they? Not truly sort of an intersex condition or a true biological transgender, which is extremely rare, isn't it? That is actually extremely rare. But you're just a man who likes to wear women's clothes and prefers it if people call you by a woman's name. Now you get access to a special VIP fast-track HMRC phone line. That's odd. That's really, really weird. Okay. All right, The Guardian. The Guardian, absolutely revolting, isn't it? Okay. Mandelson vetting warned of ties to key figures in China and Russia and Israel. If anyone's just listening to this, the headline reads, Mandelson vetting warned of ties to key figures in China and Russia. End of headline. Read the article. It says China, Russia and Israel. Yeah. Wasn't Epstein embroiled in Israeli intelligence services? He was. He's close friends, good friends with Ehud Barak, who was the head of all in Israeli intelligence services at one point, as well as head of all Israeli military, which would include military intelligence at one point. He was being prime minister of Israel. Yeah. Ehud Barak went and visited Jeffrey Epstein a whole bunch of times. Jeffrey Epstein went to him and visited a number of times. Ehud Barak went to Epstein's island. Yeah. But Mandy was embroiled also with people in China and Russia. To what extent, to what exact extent, we're still yet to find out, aren't we? But Mandy, like Epstein, was some sort of nexus of nefarious goings-on, wasn't he? The Prince of Darkness. Tony Blair was the Dark Lord. Manson was the Prince of Darkness. The other thing is, if anyone who doesn't know, perhaps is foreign or quite young, it's been said a lot in the last few months, I'll repeat it again. Everyone knew, right? Everyone knew for years and years and years that Mandy was like a scumbag. This completely amoral operator. Everyone knew. Absolutely everyone knew. For years. I mean, years. Going back to the very early 2000s. Very early 2000s. Everyone knew. I do mean everyone. Weird. When I first saw Mandy in the Oval Office, standing behind Trump, in Trump's most recent administration, that is, Trump's sitting there and he's flanked by all sorts of important people behind him. Some of his own secretaries. There's a UK ambassador behind him, Mandy. I'm like, a lot of people must have been just like, twice disgraced Mandy that everyone knows is dodgy. Everyone. Should he even be an ambassador of any type, like a full Foreign Office ambassador of any stripe? That's weird. Why would... He's an ex-Labour minister dude. How is he an ambassador? That's not the right sort of... It doesn't make sense. The US ambassador should be a Foreign Office official who's been an ambassador to loads of other countries before. That's usually what an ambassador is. Mandelson. In the Oval Office. Though a lot of people say, that's why though, isn't it? That's why, because he's so compromised. That's why. Okay. UK risks 25% rise in a young jobless. All right. Inside Lebanon, a life of raids and bombings. Yeah, Israel is stepping up their war against Hezbollah in Lebanon, if anything. Yeah, I saw a clip the other day of Netanyahu saying, now is the time. I mean, literally the other day, like 2 days ago, maybe Monday. Now is the time to dial everything up. Look, Israel issues evacuation order for swathes of southern Lebanon. Yeah. Netty knows he hasn't got that long left in office. Perhaps on this earth he's no spring chicken. So he's got to do everything he wants to do, like now. All his dreams of sort of the project of a greater Israel or whatever. It's now or never for him. Okay. All right. Not the Hezbollah. Not that I want to play defense on Hezbollah. Hezbollah are murderous Islamist scumbags. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? That's why I'm one of those people. You don't want anything to do with any of it. Quite often people will try and make you pick a side, right? The Douglas Murrays of this world. You must be on Israel's side. No. No. There's the other side, aren't there? Various other people. All sorts of other people. If you're not, at least de facto, by default, 100% against Israel, so effectively on the side of the Islamists, one way or another, even sort of in a de facto sense. No, I reject that as well, no. I reject both of those. No, I'll put my country and my people first in my own land. And their disgusting blood feud can be played out there. And when it spills over here, we'll get rid of them. We'll clear them out. Someone in the chat says, seriously, move on. I'll talk about what I want to talk about for as long as I want to talk about, all right? I will move on now, though. Trump's war, the rising cost to you. 3 months into the military campaign against Iran, households pay the price, and worse is to come. Some of these figures, I feel like, when I looked at this morning, like, don't seem right. For example, it says, meals, the average meal, is up 89p. Feels like it's more than that. The daily shopping is up £7. Seems like it's way more than that. The average mortgage on a mortgage about 140 grand is up £821. Mine isn't. Nowhere near that. Guess it depends what rate you're on and stuff, doesn't it? Petrol up £14.63. Maybe that sounds about right, I suppose. Energy, £221. Yeah, probably about right. Fuel, which they're talking about oil, heating oil, up 50%. I've got no idea about that, I'm afraid. I've never ever bought heating oil in my life, so I don't know about that, but there you go. Meanwhile, America's bill for waging war is $29 billion and counting. The scheme of things doesn't seem that much. I mean, it's a gigantic number, of course. Gigantic number, but it's more than 1.5 times what Britain spent on foreign aid in 2025. That simply just makes me think we're spending way too much on foreign aid. Way too much. Why are we spending tens of billions a year on foreign aid? It's mad, isn't it? That's one of the things I would stop very, very quickly. Very, very quickly, as soon as possible, if I was in power. Standing on the steps of number 10 with my missus. And I walk inside, all the number 10 civil servants clap you in. Sit down at the desk. Bring me what I need to do. My permanent secretaries, bring me what I need to do to end nearly all foreign aid. Practically all foreign aid, as soon as humanly possible. We haven't got the money. But we're borrowing money that we can't afford to repay, really. Barely afford to repay the interest payments on that borrowing to give away as foreign aid. That's mad. That's mad. We're stopping that. We're going to stop. We can cut that off. That's stupid. Obviously. That's stupid. All right. The Mirror. Some of the worst slop you'll get on Fleet Street. All right. Something about Kate Moss again. Do not care. Backlash for Blair. So, where Blair came out, do you remember? Was it Monday or yesterday? With his 5,000-word essay on everything that's going wrong with the Labour Party, in criticising Streeting and Bumham, King Andy Bumham, the first of his name, as well as Keir, just criticising all of them. You're not doing government right. There's been a fair bit of backlash on that. In fact, have a quick head over to the websites. Where was it? Bear with me 2 moments. Oh, here we go. On ITV News. Andy Bumham and his eyeliner and Wedge Streeting hit back at Tony Blair's criticism of Labour. They basically both said, to paraphrase slightly, you're out of touch, old man. You aren't and never have been left-wing enough. That's your problem. You don't understand because you're not left-wing enough, basically. Burnham, who's currently campaigning ahead of the Makerfield by-election on June 19th, said Blair had misunderstood the economic causes of populism in his essay. I think Tony Blair has got a better grasp of economics than Andy Burnham. As poor as it is, it's better than his. Bumham said he, Tony Blair, doesn't mention inequality once. Oh, it's about inequality, is it? It's about inequality. If you don't get how that's driving politics now, if you are not rooting your analysis, oh, Andy Burnham's going to tell us about economic analysis, you see? If you do not root your analysis in the fact that people are unable to live and that things that were taken for granted are no longer affordable, then you are not understanding what's going on. I think Tony Blair understands what's going on, as mad as it is, far better than Andy Burnham. I don't think Andy Burnham really understands anything. He's still living in that paradigm of where cross-dressing men should be allowed into women's changing rooms and toilets. Oh, but Andy Burnham understands perfectly everything that's going on, does he? Andy Burnham does, but Blair doesn't. You're right. You're right. Okay. He said, people don't think the centre has delivered for them in terms of their lives, therefore they've gone further to the extremes. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Streeting chimed in. What did Streeting say? Streeting said the former PM, that the answer to global disruption, quote, cannot be longing for the Britain of the 1970s, not even the Britain of the 1990s. There's nothing wrong with the 1990s. It was a much better country. Much better. I mean, how old is Streeting? Does he even remember the 90s particularly? He must have been a little kid. He must have been a small child in the 1990s. What does he know, really? Where's Streeting? This boy LARPing as a statesman. Don't buy it. Just don't buy it. When people believe the rules no longer reward effort fairly, resentment grows. Oh yeah, you fostered a whole bunch of resentment. The Labour Party from 1997 onwards, you fostered a lot of resentment, yeah. And resentment never remains politically homeless for long. Fair point, I suppose. You're going to fix it, are you? Wesley Streeting. And or Andy Burnham. Yeah, right. This is a story that's all over the news the last few days. A fair few people, kids, have drowned. Look, heatwave horror. Be safe in water or more will die. Warnings as 7 children and 2 adults die swimming over 4 days. Grieving dad urges kids to be aware of dangers after losing son. So, yeah, a number of people, well, 9 people in total, 7 of which are children, swimming in lakes, rivers and reservoirs have died. Now, I haven't done a deep dive into it, but I've been reading the headlines and reading articles. And it will always say they got into difficulties and drowned. It doesn't tell you exactly what happened, really. Now, a river is something different, right? The river, certain rivers, are like the sea in the sense that that can be really dangerous. It doesn't look dangerous, but actually currents sweep you away, or there's an undertow in the sea, or a number of things where, okay, even if you're a strong swimmer and your only error was to sort of not know that stretch of water or coastline well enough and you drown, okay, fine. In a lake or a reservoir, if you don't, like, if it's so cold that you, like, get shocked and go into shock, you drown. Or you swim right out into the middle and then get cramp and drown. Because there's no, like, giant creatures that will take you down, no alligators or anything. So why would you drown in a reservoir or a lake, assuming you can swim? I don't get it, why so many young people are getting into difficulties and drowning to death. We've had loads of hot days over all sorts of summers before, and something like this would be once in a blue moon. You get 1 or 2, not 9, including adults. Doesn't really tell you. Of course, it's terrible, isn't it? But I don't know what to say. I mean, just, yeah, I suppose be careful. Like, if you can swim, you should be all right in a lake or a reservoir. There's no real reason why you should drown. Is there? Is there? Am I missing something? Profoundly missing something really obvious? I don't know. You know, unless you're unlucky, you get, as I say, you get cramp or something like that. All right, the sun. That mayor woman they're obsessed with for some reason. Katie Price. So, okay, slop. Of course it's a slop. It's the sun. Katie Price, Jordan. This freak who was pretty like 30 plus years ago, 30 odd years ago. And now she's in her 50s, isn't she? 48. She had so much work done. A broken, broken person. Katie Price exclusive, who can't stop crashing her car. And she's crashed her car loads of times. Katie Price exclusive. I found Lee. He's in jail for spying. Con man hubby's wild claim in Dubai. So she got remarried for God knows what time, like, what, third, fourth, fifth time? No idea. To this dude. And I'll very quickly pass over this. People say he's a con man, or he does seem to be a con man. Get people to give him money one way or another and then just disappear with it. He's currently disappeared, and now apparently his father finally contacted Jordan, Katie Price, Jordan, and said, he's in jail in Dubai. as the authorities in Dubai think he was a spy on some level. Doesn't really add up, and I don't care. Let's move on. The Star, pure slop. Pure slop. Again, that show in Line of Duty. There's going to be another season of it. Don't care. Look at that. Look. Am I going to watch a show where it's this? Nah. No thanks. Pass. Okay, the complete insane slop on the Daily Star. Three lions in Spygate shock. Game of drones. All it is where... There's the World Cup this summer, isn't there? The Soccer World Cup. And the England team, they put them up in a hotel somewhere where they train for a few weeks before the tournament starts. And to stop other teams spying on them, they're going to put up, like, drones. That's it. That's it. All right, they're the front pages. There you go. We did a poll. This is the point in the show. We often do look at our poll, don't we? Harry, if you bring that up for me, I don't know what we asked. I always, nearly always forget what we actually asked. Oh, okay. Because the World Cup's coming up, and it'll be on the front pages, particularly of the more sloppy tabloids, it'll be on the front pages all the time. And I know that I've asked in the poll before, do you care about football or sports ball, and you, or even F1, and you always come back with a resounding no. I want to try and get out ahead of this, try and deal with it, because it's going to be in the news. Loads. Okay. In fact, someone on a tweet just yesterday or the day before just added me on Twitter and said, like, they were kind, they were nice. They were just saying that I know you sort of like football a bit and stuff, but I think they said something like, when the World Cup's on, I understand that you can mention it in passing, particularly like an England result, but beyond that, just keep it to a minimum, bro. And I was like, I read you loud and clear. Okay. But so this morning on the poll, I wanted to try and gauge that again to see whether you guys are like almost entirely unanimous, despise it, really hate it, or whether you're a bit indifferent, or if you've got any fans at all, just trying to gauge it. So for, okay, when the World Cup's on, get ready for it. All right. So in this poll, we said, do you care about the World Cup? And then gave you four different grades of how much you care about the World Cup or not, as the case may be. Let's have a look at the results. All right. Okay, so 48, winning it with 48% is the least favourable option. I'm not a fan of it. A cool 48% of you say, basically say, you just could not care less. Okay, and then the next one up, it's all right. That's 34%. So that's nearly everyone, isn't it? And then 9% of you say, I like it. And 9% of you say, I love it. So less than 20%. Of you care about football, basically. Over 80% could not give a monkey's. Okay, all right. It's good to know. Genuinely good for me to know that. So just to let you know, when the World Cup is on and it's on the front pages and stuff, I will talk about it, but I'll keep it really minimal. For the 18% of you that said you like it and or love it, what can I do? I've got to appeal to the masses. I don't have to, do I? But if England do well, if they get to like the final or win it, they won't. Probably won't. Then I'll talk about that in some detail. That's almost certainly won't happen. All right, let's just move on from this even. Even this, I imagine the people that, the 80% of you are like, move on. All right, shall we have a look at a bit of the, shall we have a look at the price of oil? We do that sometimes, maybe just after the poll, quite often do that. What's the price of oil today? On the open market. West Texas, $91 a barrel. Brent crude, $97 a barrel. So far, this whole war, it's never gone sky high, has it? It's never rocketed to insane levels. Not that much higher than when the war started, is it? And if you remember, it was about $78 a barrel. There's no one price, is there? But it was about $78 a barrel. And now it's about... some sort of mean average is what, I don't know, 95, 94, 95. Doesn't reflect how much you have to pay at the pump, does it? It's not fair, is it? All right. Let's have a look at the websites. Oh, it's already 1:45. There's one article I wanted to read here. Oh, a quick one, super quick one. I just saw this. There's not much detail to it. The whole article is only a few words. I just thought it was interesting. It's sort of thing that like, piques my interest. Says from Sky News, ex-CIA officer accused of stealing 300 gold bars worth $40 million. How is that not at least mildly interesting? Officials also seized around $2 million in cash, as well as dozens of luxury watches earlier this month, according to the FBI. Yeah, and the story, there isn't that much to it. Sort of a breaking story. Just this one guy, a guy called David Rush, who worked for the CIA, a senior CIA official, although it doesn't say exactly what his job was at the CIA. Yeah, there was just suspicions about him. The FBI raided a lockup he had and his home. Found $40 million worth of bullion. There you go, that's it, that's it. I just thought that was interesting. Who knows if we'll ever... Those sorts of stories, often, they get memory hold and you never hear anything about it again. So that sort of story. I'd be surprised if that's the case. Oh, here we go. Here we go, the Daily Mail. Old Christian Calgi at it again. He's got the memo, hasn't he? Christian's got the memo. Try and attack, restore from any possible angle. Use anti-Semitism, racism, Islamophobia, misogyny, anything you can. There's one person who's a member who did a Nazi salute 10 years ago. Anything you can get, Christian. Just do hit piece after hit piece, yeah? Good. Good boy. Restore Britain reinstates sacked member who posed doing Nazi salute after furious backlash from hard right supporters. That's a mischaracterisation from the very beginning. Okay. Look, they do old Lewis. Look, Lewis Brackpool. They're having a pop at Lewis Brackpool. They're having a pop at Harrison Pitt. Anything. Look, Lewis Brackpool sat down and had a conversation, more than one conversation, with David Curtin. What are you talking about, Christian? So basically, in a nutshell, there's some guy I'd never heard of until the other day called James Monroe. I'd never heard of him. 10 years ago, he did that. Now he's a member, just a member of Restore. I want to try and smear the whole thing. Smear all of it and everyone connected to Restore because of that. I believe some of the details are, apologies if I get any of the details slightly wrong, that this James Monroe chap wanted to be something a bit more in the party. The party said, no, you can't, sorry, you're not a right fit for us. We had a quick look at your social media and probably not. And then the party said, oh, actually, the person that said probably not hasn't got the power to do that. So you can still be a member. Like, we're not gonna police our membership. Like, what you did in your past is up to you. You know, we might not let you run as a candidate or something, but you can be a member. Like, it's a nothing burger, basically, is what it is. The fact that Restore, like any organisation of any size, will have some people in it, which the legacy corporate mainstream media will find distasteful. Yeah. Yeah, well done, Christian. Brilliant investigative journalism there. Amazing. You went on Twitter. Wow. Scoop. Scoop of the century. It's a nothing burger. It's a complete nothing burger. What else have we got? What else can we get? What other dirt can we get? Yeah, Lewis Brackpool sat down with David Curtin. David Curtin, a completely legitimate politician. He's the head of the Heritage Party. Absolutely legitimate individual, David Curtin. But he's on the right. Yeah? Lewis had a conversation with him. Oh no. Harrison Pitt, again, had conversations with legitimate people who are of the right. What is it? Renaud Camus and Martin Selner. Yeah, they're right-leaning people. Yeah, they're based right-leaning nationalist types. And Harrison dared to sit down and have a reasonable, actually quite highbrow conversation with them. That's too much for the Mail and Christian Calgi. It's pathetic, isn't it? It's pathetic. There you go, that's it. Really, really lame. All right, should we have a look at... Oh, one last thing in The Sun, I thought it was interesting. Trump's triumph. Inside Trump's war on illegal migration that has cut crossings on the southern Mexican border by 99%. So what can UK learn from tactics? Trump's triumph. Basically, in a nutshell, It's build a massive wall. The idea, walls don't work. Walls don't ever work. Walls really work. Walls nearly always work brilliantly. Look at the Theodosian walls at Constantinople. Look at the Berlin Wall. Look at, for what your job, look at the wall, the various walls built in Northern Ireland to keep Protestant and Catholic communities apart. Look at this wall. Walls work. So it's a combination of a wall and the fact that Trump has made sure that the US authorities punish people, properly punish people that get caught illegally crossing the border. Properly punish them. Like nearly 100% conviction rate and stuff. Yeah. An actual deterrent. That's what we could learn, isn't it? But instead of giving these people free stuff and ultimately get to stay here forever, and then if not bring their families over in chain migration, instead of giving them free accommodation and mobile phones and on and on and on, now you just criminalise them and deport them. Yeah. Crazy, right? Who would have thunk it? All right. Should we have a look at on this day in history? I like doing that bit. You like doing that bit. On this day, down through the centuries, what happened of note? May the 28th, on this day, in the year 585 BC, there was a solar eclipse, as predicted by Greek philosopher Thales. Me and Stelios did some various bits of long thought form content about the pre-Socratic ancient Greek philosophers. It's really good content if you're interested in that sort of thing, if that's your bag. Very, very good bit of content, because, of course, Stelios is a PhD in philosophy and an Athenian himself. A literal, real-life Athenian philosopher, Stelios. So sat down with him, made more than one bit of long-form content about the pre-Socratics. Thales is one of those. So that's there, behind the paywall on lovesteaches.com. You can sign up for the £5 a month quantity of membership. Thales predicted the solar eclipse in 585 BC, which occurs while the Lydians are at war with the Medes and leads to a truce. It is one of the cardinal dates from which other dates are calculated. Yeah. Yep. Okay. On this day, in 1431, Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orleans, is accused of lapsing into heresy, again, by donning male clothing, providing justification for her execution. Harry. Yep. Bodade's Epochs. My history theme show behind the paywall on lowsys.com. Think I'll talk about the Maid of Orleans on there for a few hours. Oh, yeah, more than once, actually. A really early epoch, so I decided just to talk about Joan of Arc. Then, later, like 4 years later, I do a really long form bit of content all about Henry V, and what happened to the English after the age of Henry V. I'll talk about it again, basically. So you can find quite a few hours of me talking in quite a lot of detail about Joan of Arc. A truly remarkable girl. Unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable. She would lead men into battle. 17-year-old illiterate French girl leading a demoralised French army into battle. Literally as well. Storming English redoubts. Mad. In the end, we captured her. Told her to recant her heresy and her evil. She said she heard voices. She heard the voices of angels. Or even demons, I think. And We were just going to put her in a nunnery forever. Just make sure she never gets out. But then she sort of recanted on her recantation, if you know what I mean. She, as far as we were concerned, she'd lapsed back into heresy. So we burnt her alive. Okay, on this day in 1588, King Philip II of Spain dispatches the Spanish Armada under the Duke of Medina Sidonia from Lisbon, Portugal, to invade England. On my channel, on History Bro, I've got a really long form series about Drake, Sir Francis Drake. History Bro on YouTube for free. There's no paywall there. Everything there is free. Obviously, in that, talk all about the Spanish Armada in quite a lot of detail. And when I get up to the Elizabethan age on epochs, I shall do it again. There you go. Right, the Trail of Tears. On this day in 1830, US President Andrew Jackson signs the Indian Removal Act, a key law leading to the forced removal of the Cherokee, Chickasaw, Choctaw, Creek, and Seminole tribes out of Georgia and surrounding states, setting the stage for the Cherokee Trail of Tears. There's certain things in history, though I'm like, you know, a partisan of the West, and play defense on behalf of, like, the British Empire and stuff. There's certain things you can't, it's difficult to defend, right? There's certain things where the anti-Western narrative just isn't wrong. When I think that's the case, I will say so. You know, like, for example, I think yesterday, wasn't it, I mentioned the UK-Soviet invasion of Iran in, like, 1943 or during World War II. Very, very difficult to justify that, really. This is one of those ones. A lot of woke people and Native American people despise Andrew Jackson, despise him. Because the Trail of Tears. I mean, he had legitimate reasons in his mind in the 19th century paradigm for doing what he did, okay. But the Trail of Tears was basically a death march. Just keep marching until a lot of you die of exhaustion and exposure. Can't justify it. Can't. Anyway, all right. On this day in 1936, Alan Turing submits Uncomputable Numbers for publication, in which he set out the theoretical basis for modern computers. Very interesting. Alan Turing, a very interesting person. Very, very, a true genius type person. He worked on the Bletchley Park stuff, didn't he? And the breaking of the Enigma and all sorts of stuff, as well as he was just a true mathematical genius, wasn't he? They made a film about him, didn't they? Was it Cumberbatch? He was also homosexual, and back in those days, it was illegal to be homosexual, and he was sort of caught, put on trial for the crime of being homosexual, and chemically castrated. They make you take drugs so that nothing works down there anymore. That was in the 1940s, I think that was. Not that long ago. And that sent him into a spiral of depression and he killed himself. Bit bad, isn't it? Alright, on this day, 1972, White House plumbers first break in at the Democratic National Headquarters and install listening devices at Watergate Complex in Washington, D.C. Again, on... Harry? On History Bro, I've got quite an early, again, long series all about Watergate. It's really all about Nixon in general, really, but nominally focusing on all the details of the Watergate, like the original break-in, and all the cover-up and the downfall of Richard Nixon in loads of detail, hours worth of detail. So I won't go into it here, but I'm fascinated by that. Read a number of books about it. John Dean's What the President Knew and When is very, very, very good. Very, very good. Got loads of transcripts of the Nixon tapes in there. And for some reason, it's just one of those things, Nixon, the career of Richard Nixon, life and career of Richard Nixon, that I've been fascinated with for years and years. Okay, today is the anniversary of the original break-in. It was actually the second break-in. They broke in one time before and just completely got away with it. But the bugs weren't placed just right. So they broke in again to sort of fix them and take pictures of more documents and stuff. All right, I could keep going on about it, but I won't. It's not a history show. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chat, shall we? Okay. Let me do this with the boom so I can see. The left-hand side of my screen, Rumble Rants first. We always do Rumble Rants first. What have we got here? Ooh, Global Church History has been pipped. Been pipped to the post. Can't win them all, bro. Okay, first in this morning was TF2 is better. And they've said, if the Lotus Eaters did a Royal Rumble, who would win? People have asked that before. If everyone had a fight, who's the hardest person in Lotus Eaters? People have said this before. We've talked about it before. I think on a Lad's Hour. It's either going to be Big Harry or Rory, I would say. I mean, me, Carl and Dan, we're a bit old. Luca, love the dude. In the most platonic way possible, love him. He's not a brawler. He's not a brawler, is he? It's got to be Stelios either, really, is he? Although Stelios was in the army. Do you know that? Stelios was in the Greek army. I think he's got a black belt as well, Stelios. But he's not big. Harry is big. And he's a gym bro as well. Big Harry. He's a gym bro now. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's big and tall and heavy and hench. So probably him. But, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, I don't think he's particularly got a killer instinct. He's like actually a nice guy. Whereas Rory, who's not little, he's not as big as Harry, but he's over 6 foot. He plays rugby. So, you know, got that gear to go into where I can hurt you. And I quite enjoy it, sort of a gear. It'll be out of Big Harry and Rory. If Big Harry and Rory, we had a one-on-one, who knows? Might be close. I'd probably put my money on Harry because he's just bigger and stronger, longer reach. He's just the physically bigger man. So probably that. Speed and aggression counts for a lot though, doesn't it? It's almost everything actually, isn't it? Speed and aggression. How often, like in Japan or something, they'll do some weird freak match where it's some giant dude versus a little guy. But the little guy is like one of the best fighters in the world. Quite often the little guy will win. Not rare. Okay, we'll move on from that. Spent a bit too much time on that. All right, Global Church History Today says, on this day in 1258, the Treaty of Paris, which ceded the Channel Islands to England, was signed, later ratified in December 1259. Yeah, that will be the reign of, must be Henry III. What's the reckoning? I've got long form content all about the reign of Henry III. It's all there. That was the one where John, the king before, Henry III was the son of King John. John had lost loads and loads, or a few battles and loads of land in France. Because before that, his father, Henry II, it was the Angevin Empire, where the King of England controlled all the way from like Scotland to the Pyrenees. But by the age of Henry III, it was forced to sign a treaty where the English gave up, we had to give up Normandy, Poitou, Anjou, Maine, loads of things. It was allowed to keep Gascony and the Channel Islands. It was a low ebb. Went from the Angevin Empire, all-time high, really low ebb during Henry III. And then the Hundred Years' War, where we start winning again. The Battle of Tours, Crecy, Agincourt. And then we lose it all again in the age of Henry VI. Yeah. Swings and roundabouts. Okay. It's all there. Anyway, it's all there. Not me talking about that for hours on end. £5 a month. It's a good deal. All right. The other factoid you give us this morning is, On this day in 1871, the Paris Commune was defeated with communards executed en masse. Yeah, we talked about that the other day, didn't we? It was on the website. It was like the big... depends what day you want to say was the beginning or the end of these things often, isn't it? Yeah, we talked about all that before, didn't we? How the Germans had beaten the French at Sedan, marched straight to Paris, actually marched round Paris, didn't actually enter it. Made the French sign a humiliating treaty at Versailles, shades of the Hall of Mirrors in 1919. But the French government collapsed. Loads of commies took over Paris for a while. Chaz style. In the end, the French army had to go in there and arrest loads of them and execute loads of them. Yeah, and commies to this day think it was brilliant. Not that they got defeated, but that the commune itself was brilliant. It wasn't. It was a complete nightmare, like Chaz, like that chop. Of course it is. Communism always fails badly. It ends in misery and suffering. Every time. Every single time. TomRat247 says, abolish the minimum wage, institute negative income tax, make something like Coursera, or Link, I don't know what Coursera is, or LinkedIn learning free to those out of work, loan them a Chromebook, make our borders a fortress. That's not a bad platform. It's not a bad platform at all. Can I disagree with any of that? Not really. Yeah, okay, cool, good, good. The man who knows his stuff there, Tom Rapp. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, a person's view on resource extraction really is an IQ test. Even if you do want environmental progress, whatever that means, a thriving economy and tech is the best remedy, not economic suicide. Yeah, quite right, yeah. Statements of undisputable fact there, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. JC Warlock says, it's my understanding that carbon is always the result of heating. That's why all the carbon spikes on core sample data indicate carbon lags to heating. Also, carbon dissipates heat very effectively. Yeah, we've had levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere on Earth stupendously higher than they are now. What did it lead to? Megaflora. Massive plants. Which in turn could lead to megafauna. Massive animals. I think that CO2 in the atmosphere will lead to a runaway greenhouse effect. Like on Venus or something. I mean, maybe, eventually. But it'd have to be astronomically higher than it is now. Not ticking up by a few parts per million every few years. It's been way, 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 way higher. Millions of years ago, I'm talking about. Yeah. It just led to giant plants, basically. Like lily pads that are meters across. Trees that are like much bigger than trees we have today, much bigger. I'm talking about in the Cretaceous. Or even long before that, even. All right. JC Warlock again says, I will say Loch Ness Castle monster till you look up Fort George on Google Maps and confirm it's a dragon's head. Lol. I keep meaning to do it, don't I? Harry, can you try and remind me? It's one of those things that I'll say, yeah, I'll look that up and I mean it. But then I just move on with my day and forget about it. I've got a million and one things I'm trying to juggle, to be perfectly honest. Harry, if you can at some point say, remember JC Warlock's asking to look at that Loch Ness monster thing? I'll try and remember, mate. I will try and remember today. Okay, thank you. So you've got to respect the grind of JC Warlock repeatedly saying that. Okay, next one here is from a name, Hiro Sanchikiban. I'm not even going to do a second attempt at that. Sorry if I'm getting it completely wrong. This person says, reminder, Mandelson was the one who got death penalty for treason removed. Not self-interest there, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, Blair, I think during, like the Mandelson years of Blair. We already had abolished the death penalty for nearly everything back in like the 50s or 60s, I think the 60s. But it was technically still on the books for treason. Like left over from the medieval period. And they got rid of that. Interesting, isn't it? Right. Fallen Firebird again says, reservoirs have machinery under the surface. Oh, okay, maybe I was missing something. Machinery under the surface, pipes, water extraction stuff, etc., which creates artificial riptides and unseen currents. Okay, I didn't really know much of this. Now you're saying it, I was like, oh yeah, I did that, but I'd forgotten all of that. Okay. These also start and stop. So it can seem safe until you're in. Right, okay, all right, if that's the case. Oof. Fair enough. I mean, that's the case for reservoirs. A normal lake won't have any of that, are they? And some of these people died in normal lakes. But a fair point, though, still good. I mean, not good, terrible. Okay. I remember not to go paddling in a reservoir. Oof, imagine getting, like, sucked in or mangled up by it. Oh. All right. Interesting, though. Fair point. Thanks for sending that in. Genuinely interesting. Good to learn. Good to know. Right. Rick WGP says, don't do it, Bo. I won't be watching if you do sports ball bollocks every day. I'll keep it to a minimum. When the World Cup's on and it's on the front pages, I've got to at least recognize that it's a thing. But I'll keep it to a minimum. I get it. I get it. I'll keep it to an absolute minimum. Unless England win the World Cup, I warn you now, the day after, or if it's a Monday morning, because our finals usually on Saturday or Sunday, if England win the World Cup, I shall spend at least 5 or 10 minutes talking about it. Other than that, I promise you I'll keep it to an absolute minimum. The poll today was pretty decisive. Okay. And the last rumble rant today, again from Rick WGP, says, 31st of May is 110 years since the Battle of Jutland. Just saying, because it falls on Sunday. We talked about the Battle of Jutland just yesterday, didn't we? At least in passing. Wasn't there a thing on the website, on this Day in History website, that mentioned the Battle of Tsushima, where Japanese and Russian battleships fought each other? And it said it was the only time that ever happened. I was like, well, what about the Battle of Jutland? Yeah, that's another thing I've been threatening to do a long-form bit of content about. I've mentioned it before on Epoch, the Battle of Jutland, but should do a whole thing on it. I want to speak to that Draconel. I nearly got an interview with him ages ago. He's a YouTuber, history YouTube content creator who does naval history. I'd love to be in conversation with someone that knows the Battle of Jutland absolutely inside out and everything around it far more than I do. That would be cool. I'd like to do that. All right, that's the last rumble rant. Let's have a look at the YouTube super chats, if you can bring those up for me, Harry. Oh, you already have. Okay, great. There's a dozen or so, maybe a few more. Let's whip through these. Let's have a look. Evan Hughes 9899 says, on this day in history, my mother passed away. Man, I'm sorry to hear that. She has fought fiercely for 5 years with M&D. Is that... what is that, M&D? Motor neurons disease? Ooh, terrifying disease. But decided to withdraw treatment today. R.I.P. Francis Ann Perkins Hughes O'Brien. In the heavens with our fathers. I'm really genuinely sorry to hear that, Evan. I too have lost my mother. And she just had cancer. But what can I say? The only thing I can say, because it was a while ago for me, it was like 10 years ago or so. Time does heal. It's one of those things you don't think you'll ever get over it. And it's a scar that will never go away. It's not something you get over, you just learn to live with it. But time does heal. I know it's a cliche. And when people tell you that at the time, when you're in the depths of mourning, doesn't mean anything to you at that point. But it's true. It is true. Enough years go by and that open wound turns into scar tissue. I'm sorry to hear that, Evan. I miss my mum every day. Okay. Don't cry. Oh. Don't cry. The History Simp says, if you could give any historical figure medicine to save them, that's interesting, who would it be and why? That's a great history nerd's question. I've considered Alexander the Great, Henry V, and Baldwin IV. Oh, the great picks. Tell you what, Henry V is a good pick. It might actually be my pick. That's a great pick. Some of these other, like Baldwin V had what, leprosy, wasn't it? Late stage leprosy. Well, eventually late stage leprosy. Alexander the Great probably had all sorts of things wrong with him. Wearing himself out. Alcoholism, kidney failure, whatever. Whereas Henry V, put him on a drip and give him some antibiotics, he would have been all right. He was still young and vital. He got dysentery. Give him nice clean food, lots of liquids, put him on a drip, as I say. Antibiotics. Would have been fine. He only needed to have lived another, 3 months or so? I think it was something in the order of 3 months. If Henry V crazy amount of long form content. 20 hours, 25, 30 hours. I don't know how many hours I did on Henry V. Crazy amount of content. If he'd lived for, I think, about another 3 months, he would have united the crowns of France and England. If he'd lived for another 10 years, 20 years, more, the whole timeline of European history, Western European history, would have been entirely different. And almost certainly in our favour, England's favour. I think Henry V. It's a good one. Okay. David Betts, 1180, says, on this day in history, Battle of Goose Green, Falklands. Oh, no, it's history. Harry. On history, bro. I've got a long-form bit of content all about the Falklands War. In conversation with ex-Royal Marine Chris Thrall. All about the Falklands. So yeah, today's the anniversary of Goose Green, is it? Okay, interesting, interesting. All right. Where the Brits served the Argies up a smashing defeat. Be clear, we won. That wasn't clear. All right. Oh, another for a fair decent amount of money just popped in over the Rumble rant, so I'll read that right now. JC Warlock, thank you for that. You said, you're a good guy, bro. Thanks for replacing the big breakfast. Just need some vital statistics to tie it all together. Cheers, buddy. Appreciate that. It's a generous amount of money you sent that time as well. Really appreciate it. Cheers. I'll have to remember to look up the Loch Ness Monster Castle, Fort St. George. Okay. What else have we got here? Oh, there's still a few more. Quite a few more. We've got Alex McCormick says, Thank you, sir, for your morning show. No, thank you for tuning in. Lotus Eaters got me into politics a year or so ago. Now I'm a councillor and 1,000% for Restore Britain. Winning. Winning. Alex McCormick for the win. Love it. Brilliant. What are you? I can't remember the names of the nine that won in Great Yarmouth. Are you one of those, Alex? You're a councillor. You're for Restore. Are you a Restore councillor? I can't remember the names of those nine. The Gang of Nine. Rupert's Rough Riders. Rupert's Roughnecks. Anyway, either way, brilliant. Well done you. Yes, Restore can win it. Aim high, vote low. Okay. Calms65 says, corrupt FIFA have destroyed the World Cup. Well, FIFA is definitely corrupt. I mean, it's a matter of record, isn't it? They are corrupt. But football itself is still the same, isn't it? They never, like, change the rules so drastically that it's, like, the game itself is ruined. But I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. Okay. Cockney Corporal or Cockney CPL says, I knew Helena, I guess you're talking about Helena Bonham Carter. I knew Helena when she was 15 and she had the same dress sense then. It is genuinely how she does dress. Oh, well, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. It was only if I think I did say that's always just what I felt. Fair enough. She was really pretty when she was young. Have you ever seen a room with a view? Old, like, what, the 90s, is it? 1990s, like a young Helena Bonham Carter in that. Okay. David Betts again says, I work in the demolition sector. Cool. That's a Chad job, isn't it? I blow stuff up for a living. Say, I work in the demolition sector. We have a massive labour shortage. No excuse for these unemployed layabouts. They think they are too good for us. And then angry face. Like that. That's my Ming the Merciless. Okay. If some sectors are understaffed. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Calm 65 again. So it just says, Restore Britain, Union flag. Millions must go. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take our country back. I feel like there's real momentum. Optimism. That's rare. That's gold dust in politics. That's rare. People believe in Rupert. I do. That's rare. Millions must go. Right. Brendan Lucas said, the inequality answer from the front bench is not a good omen. Yeah, yeah, it's commie. It's commie pinko stuff, isn't it? Means they are planning to raise taxes past the Laffer curve on the wealthy. Yeah, yeah. You get socialists, wannabe socialists, wannabe commies, talk about inequality. It means they're going to try and destroy rich people. Or people that aren't even rich, middle class people. And once that's achieved, working class people that have got anything at all. That's how that goes. That's what socialism is. That's what communism is. Quite right, Brendan. Okay, Marcos 588 says, Narbo, without doubt, Nate Furious and even Jay Burden need to get your heads together for some car racing stuff together. Yeah. Yeah, Furious Pertinax, yeah. Marcus, Nate, my mate, Mr. H Reviews, and Jay Burden. Do I know Jay Burden? I feel like I should apologise to Jay Burden. But yeah, I would like to make, I should make more racing, specifically racing content. I did one video on Epochs with Thomas Dowling about the history of F1, the whole history of F1. It's quite long, it's well over 2 hours, I believe, if I recall. Really good. I thought, if you like it, if you're interested in that, brilliant bit of content, I'd say. If you couldn't care less about racing and Formula One, give it a swerve. But yeah, I'd like to make more stuff about cars and racing. Brendan Lucas again says, it is believed Apple computers named themselves after the Alan Turing incident, but it's because Apple comes from Atari in the phone book. Oh, it comes before Atari in the phone book. Right, yeah. There's a story about Alan Turing, isn't there, that he... I can't remember the exact details, but you're right. There was a, he had an apple. Did he poison an apple and then eat a bit of the apple? And the apple with a big bite out of it was found on the table next to him. Something like that, if I recall. I can't remember exactly. People said, oh, that's Apple's logo. Alan Turing's suicide apple. But that's just not the case. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Okay. Ricky Allen, 2195, says, morning, Bo. Morning. Love the show. Cheers. I watch every morning. Brilliant. Just to let you know, it's Thursday, not Wednesday. Keep up the good work. Harry, didn't I specifically ask you to confirm it was Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my fault.
Well, thank you, Ricky Allen, for that correction. I think I did it last week as well. I'm pretty sure I did it last week. I just said the wrong day. Honestly, days merge into one a bit. But thanks for letting me know. Thanks for the correction. Should be a bit more on the ball than that, shouldn't I, really? Yeah. Last night was Wednesday evening, wasn't it? So it's now Thursday. Quite right. All right, we've got three more here. Marcus 588 again says, and it's like a, it's in quote marks, says, all discussions of a single nonsense soy sports ball talking point shall be kept to an absolute minimum. Okay, I get it. The vast majority of you, 80% plus, don't care about sports ball. Loud and clear, fair enough. Brendan Lucas again says, well, the Hood and the Bismarck, great battleships, giant World War II era battleships. You say the Hood and the Bismarck briefly engaged each other. That's true, yeah, that's true. I believe US fast battleships also had a tangle with Jap battleships in New Guinea. Is that the, would that have been like the Battle of the Coral Sea or something? I think when people say battleships, they're talking about really, and you, nothing you've said there is wrong, by the way. I think they're talking about, they're getting a bit nerdy, a bit fedora tip about it, that a capital battleship is a really, really specific thing. Not just any big warship. That's not a battleship. A battleship is like a, quite a specific type. And that them, other than one-on-ones, like the Hood versus the Bismarck or something, other than one-on-ones, plenty of those in World War II, where one side's got a number of battleships and the other side's got a number of battleships and they, yeah. Anyway, yeah, what you said there, it's all true. All right. And now Crawley with a load of zeros in it, two zeros. Crawley just says, "We all believe in Rupert Bowe." Yes. He feels authentic, doesn't he? He's already rich. He's not doing it for money, like Nigel seems to be. It's not about money, is it? It's about doing the right thing. It's about trying to restore Britain, to restore it. Not reform it. Not move the deck chairs around. Not just dial up the manager. No, restore it. Yeah, take it back to what it was when it was better. Yeah. Love it. Oh, Brendan Lucas just ticked in with one final one. Dreadnought and Super Dreadnought class ships. Right, so again, we're talking about the very specific class of warships. Right. Oh, and another one just ticked in as well. May as well read it. Marcos 588 again says, "No, Bo, it's just an appropriate minimum." Was merely paraphrasing the Fat Herald from HBO's Rome TV show. Keep it up, mate. Oh, what did you said then? Oh, I get it. Yeah, I love HBO's Rome, by the way. It's great. I've watched it like half a dozen times. It's really, really good. An appropriate minimum. Right, okay, talking about sports ball, where you said... Oh, so it's in the voice of that town crier type character in ancient Rome, where he makes proclamations. "All discussions of a single nonsense soy sports ball talking point shall be kept to an appropriate minimum. Ave." Right. Okay. All right. That was the last one. That's the show. It's now 26 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Thursday, the 28th of May in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it's not a thing. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the best people on earth that tune in live. Basically the best people in the world. You guys. All right, try and make the best of the day ahead. I understand it's going to be slightly cooler in Britain, at least, today. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. I know it's not always easy. If you can, your time is precious, the most precious thing you will ever have. You only have this day once in your life, and once it's gone, it's gone. So try and make the best of it. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.